into it. When I pick up fans, they show up, support as they always do. We're very thankful for that. It's just very frustrating that we weren't able to put together a more consistent product for you guys, but we will get better. But just, it's so many, like, our, you know, our trainers, performance staff, the care of the players throughout the season, our personnel department. I thought those guys did a good job identifying some good football players, depth pieces that had to play large roles. You know, whether it's the Muhammad or the Maddox, Rockusen, Wheat, Lacey, Stewart, just a lot of guys that had to play big roles. I thought they did a good job of that. But really, just the whole org, it's really too many people to name, but it takes everybody to play a role and give full effort for a whole season. But look, bottom line is, for our standards, this was a disappointment. All right, when we set out for this journey, for this season, it wasn't to match last year's record or exceed last year's record. It doesn't really matter what the record is. Bottom line is, if we're not in the dance and we're not competing for a championship, it's a failure. So it's a lot of things that we're gonna have to take a long, hard look at. But before I look at anything, I'm looking at myself. All right, so I have to do a better job. Obviously, he hadn't been good enough. And look, I'm always gonna look inward. So early stages, but already started to identify some things that I can definitely do better. And we're gonna collectively just have to look at everything from top to bottom and just really be honest and just take that long, hard look. And really, that's probably the only light that may come out of this darkness, I would say, is when you have these kind of results, you don't have a choice. You're forced to look at everything long and hard and truthful and honestly, all in efforts to improve our football team and just kind of recalibrate this thing to just to play more consistent football. Questions?
Just to drill down on that a little bit, what do you think you got right and what do you think you got wrong in the offseason process of evaluating and building the roster?
In terms of get right, I mean, I do think that we brought in some good football players that were able to help. Look, obviously they weren't, maybe just as a whole collectively, just wasn't at a consistent level enough. Look, always hindsight, you can look back and say, well, this wasn't as a consistent level as you would like it to be. But bottom line is we're going to be examining everything. I'm going to be examining everything with those off-season decisions and our processes. But nothing really, nothing's going to change fundamentally or foundationally in terms of just the type of players that we're looking for and what our identity is built on. That's still going to remain the same, but you always have to evolve, man. You have to evolve, and when you don't get the desired results, you know, you got to just look at everything.
Brad, when you do look at yourself,
yep.
At this point in time, the organization has regressed, didn't get to the postseason this year.
Yep.
When you look at changes you could make, does that involve potentially more aggressive decision-making in free agency and the trade deadline?
That's hard to say without being faced with the dynamics of who the players are. You know, it's a lot that goes into those decisions. I guess what I say about that is, you know, we work very hard in terms of, I guess I'll back up. I understand if you don't see a certain amount of, let's call it transactional activity, and that's all you don't see the result. You don't see another player added, you don't see the trade, you don't see the big splash signing. But our work ethic has always been high, and a lot of times, really all the time, is you have to put so much work into making sure that you don't make a mistake. Really, the easier thing to do is to see a name of interest that you've heard of, you think's been a good football player, and then you just make the call, make the move. And then you just didn't really put in all the time and efforts to find out, well, why this player is even available, or why is this player not being signed back? So it's a lot of work that goes through. So that's not going to change. But I don't want to sit here and say that just more activity is going to be the answer. Honestly, a lot of the things that we'll look at and a lot of the changes and tweaks and adjustments that we will make probably won't come with a headline. But that's not to say that we won't do something that's in that splash category or, but I don't think it's any, it's not indicative of a lack of effort, work ethic. Look, I think somebody, one of y'all called me at the trade deadline and asked me, you know, did you talk to anybody? And I just kind of, you know, I wasn't offended, but I think my response was, well, why are you asking me now? Because it's a NFL calendar item with a title on it. You know, you didn't ask me about if I talked to anybody early November or October or September or August or in June or in May. Like, the roster building thing and engaging and talking to teams, that's year round, but I totally understand that that's not public information. And you can only just go off of what's out there, but there's a lot of work. So the work ethic's not going to change, but we'll still be looking at everything.
Frank, right, some of the health stuff that Frank was dealing with at the end of his kind of career there, do you wish there was anything worded out differently to prepare for his departure?
Yeah, well, look, a player of Frank's caliber, look, you haven't seen a Frank Ragnow since Frank Ragnow, so never would have thought that you could just immediately just replace him and just hit the ground running. You know, I think we did the best we could with everything that we were trying to do from a roster standpoint. But look, the offensive line in general as a whole, it hasn't been ignored in terms of, like, I know we've, you know, drafted in 21 and in 22 we didn't, but 23 we went late, you know, 20, but you'd be surprised about the moves that we tried to do that we could not get done that involved offensive line, whether that be draft or free agency. But no, it hadn't been ignored. We tried to do the best we can. I was excited about the youth injection that we did go with. I think it was necessary. But I believe I mentioned after we acquired those players that, you know, there's going to have to be some patience. There's going to be some things that those young guys hadn't seen before. I do think that those young players will get better, but just the offensive line as a whole, whether it's interiors or the tackle, that's something that's in a contingency. We're going to have to be urgent in terms of that.
I asked Dan about this on Monday, just with Decker kind of openly contemplating his future. What lessons did you learn from last offseason with Frank going into this one with Decker being kind of upfront about it?
Lessons in terms of just him contemplating.
Yeah, just like a potential hole there that,
you know. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, but again, like I was saying, it's never been ignored. It's like, you know, it's going to come at some point. As good of, let's call it more veteran offensive line that we've had in the past that has been comprised of a lot of good players, you know, at one point, you know, four first-round picks at one point. It's never been ignored, but, you know, you just can't reach and just make a move just to make a move. You can reach for a tackle or just make a move for a tackle, and that player is not as good enough of a replacement. But no, that's definitely, you know, I'm not sure what Frank's going to, I mean, what Decker's going to decide to do, but, you know, that's not only will it have to be urgent this offseason, but it's been urgent in the past. And, you know, look, we drafted, 2 years ago, we drafted Manu as more of a developmental guy, thinking that, you know, he's going to have some years to take some steps forward. But it would be irresponsible for us to just go into it thinking that, well, you know, well, we drafted a developmental player a couple of years ago, he's going to be the guy. And I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think that we've ever kind of gone into an all season with a question mark or a hole, and we didn't attack that position with urgency. But sometimes it just doesn't work out as well as we want to.
Hey, Frank, one more about Frank.
Frank was retired.
shoulder. I'm already too far.
I'm just wondering, at what point in the offseason did you learn that Frank was retiring?
It was after the draft. That was when he officially told us that, you know, like, I'm not going to do it. I can't remember. It was maybe at some point in late May or something like that. But that's when he gave final stuff. Now, not saying that the thoughts weren't swirling, you know, not saying that there was no breadcrumbs or anything like that. But even with breadcrumbs of it, you know, but not knowing exactly what he was going to do, you know, again, it was something that we knew that we needed to prepare for because we didn't know what's going to happen.
Brad, have you guys maintained contact with Frank since the failed physical? And is there any chance that he gets healthy and attempts another comeback for next season?
No, you know, after that whole thing, you know, we just kind of went our separate ways. I'm sure a lot of the guys still, you know, keep contact with him. But, no, just nothing in concrete about, you know, seeing if he wants to give it a go.
Brad, how collaborative have you been in every process with you and Dan Campbell? Obviously, one of the first moves you guys made was parting ways with John Worden. I guess it's like, are you guys operating at a timeline, or just how is that? Why did you guys feel like the time was to do that right away? And is it a timeline you guys think that maybe trying to?
Can you repeat that one more time?
With John Worden, parting ways with him. I know how collaborative you and Dan have been in a lot of decisions, just as far as this decision, like just how important is it to get the right person in and just that decision to make that move, you know, right after the season, let him go, whatever. Any insight on that at all?
Yeah, no, look, there's in this business, in these shares, you know, you have to make some really tough decisions. And Johnny did a lot of good things with this time around, the first time around, of course, so appreciate all of his efforts and everything that he put into it. But look, you just have to, there's a time where you just have to just make a decision, especially when candidates, you know, are becoming available. You have to just make the tough decision to move forward and move on. So we didn't have like a predetermined date in mind or anything like that. It's just, you know, just kind of after some discussions, you know, just felt that, you know, it's time to just move on and start fresh.
Well, Brad, as you do your capable this year, like, what are the priorities for that placement? What are you looking for?
I mean, it's a lot, but I mean, there has to be leadership. There has to be detail oriented. It's got to be command of the room. You just have to be able to know that there's somebody that's going to be able to dot every I, cross every T, make sure that nothing is compromised from a detail standpoint, from a standard standpoint, from the start of the game planning period all the way till the end of the week. And so we're just looking for that type of person. Whether the person has previous experience calling plays or not, I've been around previous coaches that have not done it and did it and, you know, had a lot of success with it. So I do think a lot of it is just you just got to just get in front of them, hear them out, spend some time with them, and kind of hear their ideas, hear their philosophy, do a lot of vetting, as much vetting as you can, and just make the decision. But I think when you go through the process of getting in front of them, when you know, you know.
Look outside your organization.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking at everything.
Brad, as you do your self-analysis, and you mentioned evolving, you guys are at a stage now. Do you think maybe you need to act not as cautiously in player acquisition and free agency, trade deadline, or whatever? Is it you at the point after a season like this that you have to be more aggressive in certain areas?
I don't know. So you're saying define aggressive.
When there's a need, don't just necessarily plug with the same guy that was there before, or maybe more aggressive trading up in the draft or trading or free agent signing. When the needs that are there before the season began are still there, and believe me, that doesn't happen every year. This was the first year, quote unquote, failure.
Yeah.
But this year, the needs didn't get fixed over the course of a year. Could you have been more proactive?
Well, I don't think it was a lack of effort. In terms of being aggressive, again, like I was saying earlier, when I may have been telling John that, there's so many things that we try to do that just can't do. Like you mentioned the draft. I think I may have said it after the draft, this past draft, that, yeah, you might see just the one or two or three actual draft trades that were, they're on record, they were consummated, they were done, but the attempts and the things that we tried to do, that's not public information. So just because you're trying to be aggressive and you're trying to trade way up, that doesn't mean that that team wants to trade way back, like how we've been picking in the past. We're picking a little bit higher this year. That, you know, you don't want to be in that position. But it's the same thing with the free agency standpoint, or you know, trades. You know, you can call about a player, but it's probably a really good player that the team doesn't want to part ways with. So that doesn't mean that you're going to get them. So that's why I'm not trying to not answer your question, but I don't think that we've like not tried to be aggressive, or just being aggressive just to say we'd be aggressive. Usually when those kind of moves happen, usually there is a deficiency that's clear, and that team needs to act on that. And when we've had deficiencies, we try to act on things. Some of them just didn't come together, but we don't want to, you know, settle or reach. You know, if we try to do the big trade or the big thing, it doesn't come about, then we're not just going to say, well, is this another player that we're kind of warm on that we can get? I'm not sure how that's going to help anymore, but it'll look like we're doing something, so we'll do it. I don't think that that's responsible either. But it's not a lack of action being taken on that part.
Brad, the offensive line, center position going forward. You mm-hmm. said it's not easy to find another Frank Ragno. I think we can all respect that. Mm-hmm. But you know, how do you view that position going forward? Whether it's, you know, maybe taking another look at Ratledge, is that a place where you really want a rookie? Do you need a veteran to get compete there? And then with Manu, I know you said you can't bank on him, but you know, you've had 2 years to kind of evaluate what you got to start to look yep. at. How ready do you feel he is to at least compete for that job if Decker steps aside?
Yeah, you know, look, I think all those are fair questions. Look, a lot of the, I'm not trying to dodge your questions, but we don't have all the answers right now. And I have full confidence to say that we don't have all the answers right now. And actually, if we did have all the answers right now, you should actually be concerned, because we have not taken the necessary time to do the necessarily deep dive analysis into our roster, our operations, everything from top to bottom, like we are gonna do. Again, there's some infancy stages things that we've already started to look at that, you know, we'll just keep to ourselves. But obviously, you know, tape is obviously an option for sure. And, you know, he's done it before. He did in OTAs. Didn't think that he was a fish out of water. So, and then all the reps that he's logged this year, just all the rookie snaps, he may have played the most snaps of any rookie offensive lineman this year. So whether he continues at guard or center, but we know that he's an option. But yeah, we're definitely gonna have to continue to look for one. Brady Fridge, the order draft or trade.
Hey Brad, and just Manu, do you feel like?
Yeah, Manu, look, he's taking steps. I'm not gonna sit here and say that we feel convicted that he's ready to be a major contributor. We hope that he is. We're just gonna have to see how he comes back in terms of when we get started in the offseason program, how he comes back in OTAs. And look, he's gonna have to, as always, win a job. You know, he's gonna have to beat somebody out. And so as much as we're gonna surround the resources around him, he's gonna have to do his part too, to make sure that he's doing everything necessary to be as good of a football player that he can be.
Hey Brad, Dan Campbell on Monday graded himself a freaking F. How would you grade yourself?
Oh, I mean, whatever's a failure. I mean, yeah, I guess F. I mean, that's fair. I mean, I'm not trying to copy what he said, but it was either good enough or not good enough, and it's not good enough. So, you know, it's either pass and we're still playing right now and still competing for a championship, or not. And If we're not, then fail. So that's where I put it. But I'm not going to get into the deep
juice. Right. What would have been the biggest failure in your mind then for this season?
What would have been the biggest failure?
Yeah, what failed the most, I guess, from your point of view?
Oh, just that we weren't able to play. I mean, well, right now, where we're at right now, I'm here talking to you guys, not saying that I don't like talking to you guys, but you guys know what I'm saying. It's over, and football's still being played. So that is the biggest failure. And that's what it's going to be for our standards. Look, in 2021, you know, when we first were starting out and trying to lay the foundation, us not being in the postseason, but we made some strides towards the end, you know, provided a little bit of hope, a little bit of optimism. But for where we're at now, oh, absolutely. Biggest failure.
Brad, back to your comments off the top, said you're always going to look inward, and mm-hmm. you started to identify some things already that you can do better. Can you share a few that have come to mind?
No, I'll keep those to myself, you know, just from a competitive strategic advantage. But trust me, it's being looked at. I don't know what y'all believe or think about, but I've always been big on self-assessment. If something is not working, okay, what could you have done better to make it work? And or if something didn't work, then you got to look back and, you know, really take a long, hard look at, okay, like, how did I mess this up? Or what could I have done better in this area? Or could I have made a kind of different decision that I, you know, it's a lot of different things, but I'm always going to start with myself first. It's after every single loss, you know, that's the first thing that I'm looking at. I'm not looking at, you know, this happened, this ball didn't bounce this way, this, that, and I'm like, man, are these players, like, are they performing well enough? And if they're not, then, you know, that falls on me, and I have to get better. So that's how I'm always going to look at it.
All right. The injuries defensively last year maybe make it a little bit of an outlier in 2024, but just over the last couple of years, the defense has not been playing well at the most critical junctions of the season. What can you do on your end to kind of improve the level of defense that's being played down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, look, when you lose some impact players as we did, you know, you're gonna have some hurdles. And I do think some guys came in and stepped up, and but you know, a lot of those guys we brought in to be quality depth, and they had to play large roles and be starters. But as far as like, and I think a lot of the secondary injuries, you know, you could say that equated a little bit to more of the explosive plays in the pass game, but. But late in the season, some of the run defense stuff, I just think that was just uncharacteristic. We've normally been relatively very good in run defense, and it just was not clicking. It just was not consistent. But again, just like I said at the top, we are going to look at everything. I'm always going to look at players first, but I'm sure me and Dan are going to look at players, scheme, the whole thing.
Is there any strict calculus of just how close or far you guys are from reaching the Super Bowl?
Say that one.
Like how did this season change? Just a big picture view, how close or far you think you are from
that? You know, I don't think that we're that far off. I personally don't. We have a lot of good players. We have a lot of good young ascending players. We have a really good quarterback. We have the right coach. I do think that we're very close. And hey, look. Maybe that is some of the things that, you know, maybe that's one of the items that needs to be looked back on, is thinking that you are so close, and so then now you start changing some things because you only need this piece, you only need that piece, and you got to fit, you know, and it's like, no, like, who's the best player to fit for what we're trying to do that has gotten us to have the expectations that we have as a football team right now? So, again, we'll be looking at everything, but I do not think that this is a deep surgery overhaul. Like, you know, I don't think that. But obviously, there needs to be some adjustments made for sure.
Right, you've been taking care of a lot of your own. Obviously, y'all got nearly a billion committed in guys you brought in. I know that's going to be something that you're proud of, is just signing your guys. You got a couple more guys eligible for extensions. You got Sam LaPorta that Gibbs coming up. How big is that a priority to get those guys taken care of as well?
It is a priority because they're really good players. And that's, look, we, you know, when me and Dan first started, you know, we said we're going to take the the path of draft, develop, and sign our own. And I do think that that has worked so far in terms of getting us to this point. So yeah, those guys are partners because they're really good players. They're really good players. They're great in the locker room. They represent everything that we're about. But yeah, so I would say that those are all priorities. We're just kind of, we don't have a decision on timeline yet, but yeah, definitely.
Just to follow up on that, you used that no vacations sort of analogy last year, right? Paying some of your own guys who couldn't take the big vacations in the offseason.
Yeah.
With Sam and Brian, since the injuries happened, how does that maybe change that? Could that free up more money, more cash flow to use early in the offseason? You can push those deals off to later when they get healthy.
Yeah, that's fair to ask, Dave. I do think that the priorities for those players have not changed, but obviously, you know, more medical information has to be gathered. But you know, we know who they are. We know what kind of players they are. But you know, in terms of them suffering some season-ending injuries and you know the decision that we got to make off of that, there's just a lot more information that we're going to need to get, which we will get. That's not going to be forgotten about. So it's a little bit too early to say that because of those injuries happen that's free up to.
I guess could you reallocate some of that? Not that you wouldn't spend it, but if you spend it in the fall instead of in the spring, could you use that on free agents to maybe take a vacation and address one of those periods that you think you need?
Yeah, but there's other players that are not injured that are eligible as well. So and then you have just this normal free agency. So you know, the money's the money. You know, whether you want to spend it, you know, in April, or if you want to spend it in August, you know, that's just what you have. Especially when it comes. But now there's things that we're still waiting on too. Like, let's see how much this cap number grows or adjusts and all that kind of stuff. So it's just a lot of information that we're still waiting on to see to make those decisions.
This is kind of a philosophical, but this whole thing's been built on, you know, grit and guys with chips on their shoulder. And you've managed to have a lot of continuity on this roster and built a foundation. You keep reinvesting the guys. Is it hard to be able to still tap into the gritty mentality when you have that level of continuity and stability?
You mean like in terms of when you get as many of them as we have? Are they losing it? Yeah. Is that what you're asking?
From a franchise-wide perspective, yeah. Have you lost a little bit of that edge that kind of helped you get to this point?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a fair question. No, like, look, those guys have gotten to this point because of they are really gritty players. I think it's more discipline on our part to make sure that we're adding that and that we don't get complacent or we don't kind of say, oh, well, we have all these, you know, these stars that we've rewarded, and they're really good players. They earn their rewards because they are gritty players and that they are fits and that they have performed at a high level. But we have to, that's part of just staying disciplined in our approach. And so that's something else that, you know, definitely going to, you know, make sure that we got to take a look at and make sure that we're staying disciplined. Because in human nature, you can, I think you can lose sight of it if you're not careful. So, that's definitely something that, you know, I know is on the top of my mind, is that we have to keep injecting that type of player because that's how we got to this point.
Hey, Brad, do you wish Reiner and Tim over here, and then we'll come back to the middle.
Did Dan talk about on Monday adding more competition and really emphasizing that at the roster? How does that affect the calculus as far as drafting kind of more developmental prospects and taking chances?
Look, as long as they're made up of the right kind of stuff, that's really, I think that's the main thing that matters. You know, if they have there's a baseline of talent that you have to have for this league, but they have to have the right temperament, the right intangible qualities, they have to have the right football character, regardless if that's a higher floor player, whether that's a developmental player. If someone's going to be highly competitive to add, whether it's a young guy, then players like that, they can add some discomfort And I think that that's necessary from a competition standpoint. So it's not really going to change the calculus in terms of do we take a guy that's a little bit more developmental. He can be, look, we took a developmental player that is about as high motor as it can get. And, you know, he can frustrate a lot of players in practice because of that. And I think that that's a good thing. So, but we just got to make sure that they're made up of the right stuff. My intent is peaked up that we don't go the opposite, and, you know, and start looking for, you know, this more talented player that may not have the other stuff. And so that's going to be a focal point that we're going to have to have going forward.
Right. When we talked to Kirby in December, it was maybe the most dejected I can ever remember a player talking about his injury. Just what's the concern level with the knee, especially coming off, obviously, the contract extension? Is there any worry that you might not be able to play that out?
Yeah, you know, I you know, Kirby really wanted to be out there. You know, Kirby, he earned that extension, and just I knew how excited he was to. I feel like he's already shown the world what type of player he is, but now he got the extension. I feel like he really wanted to show the world why he got that extension, and you know, obviously, you know, he had some things that he had to deal with physically. And what became hard was you're trying to urgently get healthy enough to play during the season. And that's really the reason why we waited so long to put him on IR, because he was making strides and progress at different points of the season, or, you know, maybe another week or maybe another 2 weeks. And so when he had that last recent setback late, but so bottom line, I'm just glad that Kirby's in a spot now where he's not trying to urgently get healthy. You know, he's going to have the necessary time to get the rehab and treatment that he needs to get as healthy as he can.
Right. Did you guys miss something in the physical process with that, like after he signed the extension that might have, or before he signed it, I guess, that might have, you know, I don't know, made it so that you didn't sign that extension?
Oh, no, just, you know, look, it's one of those things that just, It just popped up on us, and you know, if we, you know, it just happened, and you know, it sucks, you know, when it happens like that, but it does. So all we can do is just adjust, and you know, see how healthy he can get. I know he is, and just move forward. But I wouldn't call it a miss, as if like we knew that and then we did that.
I guess I'm saying, should you have known it before he signed it? Should you have found it before when he did his physical, and, you know, before he signed the contract?
I mean, in a perfect world, yeah, that would have been nice. But, you know, in terms of, you know, passing exit physicals and all that kind of stuff, we thought that we had the information, and you know, we signed the extension, and then this happened. And look, I mean, you know, early in training camp, you know, he's going out there, it looked like he was curving, and then he just started kind of going down from there. But he did everything he could. You know, he was still a productive player in the games that he was out there from a ball production standpoint, which I didn't put a number on the percentage that he was from a health standpoint, but the main goal is just, you know, it's getting better.
Can I
let
you go without?
We have five more guys, Colton, Justin, Rachel, and one, two after that.
Can't leave this without asking an edge question, Brad. You took a lot of different bites from the apple last year through kind of a multifaceted plan. Muhammad obviously worked out really well. The rest of the collective didn't give you a whole lot. I don't think any of that's under contract next year except for Hassanin, who's kind of in that project ballpark. Yep. So what did you learn from your approach last year that can maybe help you find that guy to give you something opposite Aiden this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be the same approach that we took last year in terms of if the position wasn't ignored in the draft, it just didn't come together like how we would have liked it to be from a draft standpoint. But you know, Muhammad played really, really well. I'm not sure how many other teams had, you know, an 11 sack and a 14 and a half sack guy. I thought the rush was good, but I understand that he's a free agent. You know, Davenport's a free agent, so we definitely going to have to look and replenish opposite of Hutch for sure.
Cool. Brad, I'm sure you're happy with Isaac Salas rookie year, but how did the lack of third round picks sort of affect what you can do in trade conversations behind the scenes at all?
Yeah, you know, you have to always be at peace with that when you actually decide to part ways with that. And even when you're in April in the draft and you're about to part ways with that type of compensation, you have to know that it's gone, and you're not going to have a third round pick at the trade deadline. And you just have to understand that. I do think there's other creative ways that you can do to supplement a third round pick when it comes to trades with future picks, players being involved and all of that. But that's one that you can't have regret or look back on. You just have to be at peace when you're part of that conversation. But very, very happy with the growth that's been taken.
Obviously, there are a lot of factors that contribute to the stagnancy of the run game this year, but just from your perspective, do you expect David Montgomery to be here next year?
Yeah, look, obviously, I know that there's a tough year for him in terms of the lack of touches, and I'm not gonna say that we went into it planning for it to be that way. I thought he handled it like a pro. And so look, those are discussions that we're gonna have to have a lot more in depth in terms of, you know, like, what is the best plan for him going forward? You know, is it somewhere else or whatever the case be, but just really appreciate everything that he has done for us. If it does end up going that way, I hope it doesn't, because we love David Montgomery. He's a good football player, and wish we would have been able to get more utilization from him. I know Dan feels the same way. But you know, those are conversations that we're going to have, because got a lot of respect for that player. He deserves to be in a situation where his skill set can be utilized. And so, yeah, we'd love it for it to be here, but if it can't be here, you know, then you would have to just see what you can work out the best for.
Hey, Brad,
have
you and Dan had end-of-season meetings with Sheila Hemp, and has she expressed any sort of more urgency for you guys to push to get to the Super Bowl and win it in 2026? What's been her mindset for this, for what happened this year?
Yeah, we have had conversations with her. You know, keep that privately, but always the hope is to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. You know, that's not changed going forward this year. That was obviously the goal the past couple of years. So that still remains. And it's not only, I don't even need to hear that from her. You know, I'm the one that's on my mind constantly is, you know, having the ability to put that trophy in her hands. So I don't sleep well at night unless that happens. And she's aware of that, but yeah, we've had conversations, and she's always, the great thing about her is she's always consistent. Yeah, we'll just keep the details private.
Brad, just back to safety briefly. When healthy, that tandem's probably the best in the NFL, but with Kirby and BB both looking at injuries that could impact next season and maybe even beyond in the case of Kirby, how pressing does that need feel at safety this offseason?
Yeah, it's a fair question because of the obvious. Again, we're going to need to get more information from where those players are at. You know, and that's the hard part of when you make certain decisions when you're dealing with players when it comes to medical, is that at the end of the day, you just see the final result. Is a player available or not? But we get so much updates on a daily basis, a weekly basis, in terms of the progression that those players are making. And that informs the decisions that we make. So it's a little early to say, you know, but that position is just another position on the roster. So it's not going to be ignored. We always want to build the most quality depth as we possibly can. So whether it's safety, I feel like we did, even expecting both of those players to be available all of this year, I felt that we took about as aggressive an approach as we could, building depth. But again, it comes down to what's available truly what teams are willing to do. But I do think that the guys did step up. I did think that, you know, I think we were able to claim a young Thomas Harper that's going to be, you know, he's played a lot, obviously, this year. That wasn't the plan, but he did. He did an admirable job. But we know that he can play. He can be a depth role, you know, if needed. He can play a lot of special teams. I thought Avante Maddox stepped up when he had to. I thought Daniel Thomas stepped up when he had to. You know, Eric Hallett, when we had him, you know, he stepped in and did some things. So, but it's not going to be ignored just like any other position.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Brad. Appreciate it.